Welcome to How Can We Help, the advice podcast brought to you by
who?
Us. No sponsors to speak of. It's the advice podcast hosted by two uncredited,
uncool,
undeserving,
unreasonable,
unstoppable,
uncanny
hosts. Neither of us has even taken a single psychology class, to my knowledge.
Nope. And some of us have never even had a single moment or minute of therapy.
Yeah, then. Which to others of ours, shock and dismay. Anyway, that's a convoluted beginning, but I'm Mark. This is the ever everything Jackie Pirico.
The ever everything. And that's welcome, so sweet.
Welcome to, I'm just trying that on.
Yeah.
I'm trying on compliments. Which is weird because I'm feeling the chippiest I've
felt
in weeks.
Yeah, you mentioned you were chippy earlier and I'm wondering why is that?
Who's to say? I think it's because I tried to go to a play today and which is already like a play matinee.
Uh-huh.
I'm not in a good mood.
Right. Like you're not in a good mood for having to do that?
Yeah.
Or committing to do that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think I always want to go to more plays, but then the moment I have to do it, it feels like such a chore.
I'm astounded that you committed, not that you committed to it, but that you thought you could make it in time, an afternoon matinee play that was so far from your house.
Yeah, it was so far. And there was three transfer spots on the TTC. And at each stop, things came later and later. And I just saw it getting impossibly late to the point where like at the last part, I was like I was at the Pape station and I needed to take the bus south.
Right, the 73 Pape or 72 Pape.
Yeah, and everything about it suggested that I would be there a full halfway into the play.
Oh,
like
God.
I was already late, but I still like, I was like, I'm going to get to the venue.
Yeah.
Even though I knew I was going to be in the middle of nowhere, not going to go to the play because I was missing
right,
half
so
of
yeah,
it.
What kept you going? Why
I don't
why
know.
Turn around
I don't
at
know.
Pape?
But the more I traveled,
like
the angrier I got.
And angry.
And then I got there. I went to a coffee shop nearby for like 10 minutes, checked the time, and then had to reverse course to get here. And I was still a bit late to get here.
I would be in a horrific mood. Mind you, I'm very good at hiding my horrific moods because I'm like a people pleaser and psychotic. But that would put me in an unbelievably bad mood.
It was crazy. I don't know what I was doing. I think it's because all we've been talking about is Ahab.
It's true. We've been discussing Ahab nonstop. So you felt like this getting there was your obsession.
Some crazy, undeniable slog of a mission.
Insane.
That I put myself through that has something to do with my relationship with God.
Let me guess your travels.
Control.
Can I guess your transfers were like
sure.
Whatever bus you get from your house up at like in like Corso, Italia.
Yeah.
And then to Christie or something or Ossington Station.
Down to Dufferin.
Dufferin Station.
Yeah.
Over to Pape. So that was the first transfer. Then transfer at Pape, then down.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
I worked at a paint store for about 10 minutes and I had to take that kind of like across to Pape and down south on Pape.
Yeah.
And I was quite chippy at the paint store.
That's a
paint
good
chip.
Pun. Come on. This whole intro. Turns out we are brought to you something and it's paint chips. We're brought to you by paint chips.
We're brought to you by paint chips. And we're joined by...
Oh, our favorite special guest advisor, Mike Balazzo.
Hey, Mark and Jackie. It's great to be back here again so soon after my first appearance.
Yeah, you're officially the only guest we ever
invite. And we love you so much and we're trying to trick you into just being a co-host.
Here's the con Thank of it you. Is that Jackie said you were too busy to co-host with us, but somehow
but
I think
time.
If we frame it as just
a guest,
every other episode guest, you feel compelled.
Yeah,
you feel obligated.
You managed to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like keeping it casual, keeping you guys wondering what, you know, where you stand with me, what our relationship is. And Mark, hearing your story about traveling across the city to be near a play, it was very stressful. But that seems like the ideal outcome where like you don't have to watch a play.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least you didn't have to do the thing you didn't really want to do.
I mean, but I think I may have liked it. I always like a play eventually, but the idea of a play is so terrible to me.
It's ghastly sometimes.
I fall asleep now at every live event I go to unless I am on stage during the live event.
I feel like a guy who just travels forever and gets later and later to get to a play and then resents it and then finally arrives at the play and doesn't see the play is the plot of a fucking play.
Yeah.
That's basically a play.
Okay, me and Michael were having a drink the other night, and I was telling Michael, I was really like entertaining him with this high octane story about this grocery store that I've discovered. And I don't want to say what grocery store it is. I'm a gatekeeper, and it's such a good, like, inexpensive grocery store. And I was telling him that I got this big, giant, like economy-sized, almost like restaurant supply-sized bag of cabbage, like shredded cabbage, mm-hmm. for like so cheap. I'm like, I'm going to eat this cabbage all week. Like,
Jackie will not reveal where you get cheap cabbage in Toronto.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to live off this cabbage. Like, I've got to like reel it in with my spending on food. Uh-huh. I'm going to like eat like a peasant. I'm going to eat all this cabbage all week. I've got all these cabbage meals planned out. And then just as I'm telling him this, the server comes up to us. He's like, one bill or two. And Michael's like, I'll get this bill for her.
Jackie, I'm going to take you to any other grocery store and blow your mind by how cabbage is also still cheap.
Oh, sorry. I forgot to say, this big bag, okay, had like purple cabbage and carrots like in it too, like a coleslaw mix. Mm-hmm. So it's not like just nothing, okay?
Yeah.
Look, I feel like an asshole. It's Ample Food Market.
No, don't do this. Don't do this.
Beep that out, I guess. Just bleep it.
Yeah, bleep that. It's Stephen, Fiesta can you- Farms. Wait a second. A single cabbage is the price of the college fund for my children? That can't be right.
A riot has broken out at Ample Foods, where the people of Toronto are going crazy when they heard about how cheap the cabbage was that had also some carrots in it.
Riotous voices saying, get yourself some mayo, you got a full slaw. Get yourself some mayo, you got a full slaw.
And mayo's not bad price there either. Everything is so nice and inexpensive there. I got like a big load of groceries for like so cheap. And I was so excited, but then greatly and immediately humbled by Michael when he when he grabbed the bill.
It's like you're a character in like a Russian novel from the late 1800s. Like, the cabbage at this store is very cheap to buy. And that's all they ate back then, as far as I can tell.
I think it's all anyone ate.
Cabbage soup, black bread, and vodka, I think.
It's crazy to me that I've read Russian novels and I'm familiar with the Russian accent, but this is the first time I've ever considered that the characters in those novels speak in that accent.
Oh, you didn't think about it?
No, I never thought about it.
I guess I didn't either because I don't read them.
That's the
key. Like the first step to thinking about that would to be cracking one of those books.
Oh, but they're big books, aren't they?
I started reading Crime and Punishment. Mm. I just didn't finish it. It's not like I'm too dumb to read it. I'm smart enough to read it.
You gotta finish
it because
you've only read crime now.
Yeah.
And you gotta understand there's another side to it.
No, nothing happens to you if you do crime.
Here's what happens.
You've also only seen the first half of Goodfellas. You gotta stop watching only the first halves, reading the first halves.
I stopped after the Copa scene because I was just so dazzled. I'm like, that's all I need.
Oh, I want to be a mobster so I can see Henny Youngman in the flesh. I hope he asks me to take his wife, please.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a mobster, and it all worked out okay. The end.
Now this is an accent.
That's a really good Ray Liotta.
That's your Ray Liotta, hey?
Sure.
As far back as I can remember. Okay, you guys ready to give some advice?
I'm ready.
Sure.
Okay.
Are you feeling smart and helpful today?
I mean, I feel like I just want to help everyone live their best life, and that's always what I'm about.
Yeah, that is. You're like kind of philanthropist.
I'm a
philanthropic
Mr. Fix-It
like that.
For people in need.
Yeah. Anytime I've seen you with the opportunity to either build someone up or tear someone down, you always choose the former.
Yes.
I'm an architect of the human soul. That's how I see myself anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sort of a thing to say right before you're struck down by God. You really embodied hubris there.
Yeah, well, I don't think she has the balls to strike me down.
Yeah, you would never be punished for your Dr. Frankenstein outlook on life. Okay, so this is an interesting place to start because I feel like it's connected to what we were just saying.
Okay.
How to deal with people who speak nice and politely, but you know they are truly evil.
Okay. I remember reading this question a long time ago when the questions were first coming in. Mm-hmm. I read that and I thought, that's about me. That's about me.
That's the one you internalized?
Yes, that's the one I internalized. Like, I think that's about me.
Oh, because, we should say that we... Jackie, you through your private social media account,
yes,
personal social media account, said you posted a video that said
send me questions to my I posted a reel that said send me questions, an anonymous link, and then before
so people don't know it's for a podcast or anything yet.
Yeah, they don't know anything. They just I said I'm working on a project that's like a self help thing.
Yeah, so you think that this is someone?
I think this is a dig at me
taking an opportunity.
I thought
was this a former victim of your bullying in school?
I never was a bully. I will say I was never a bully in school. Maybe sometimes I was swept up in the you know, that kind of cult like charisma of a bully.
Right.
And I didn't stand up to the bully.
Oh my God, that was me all over.
But I never was the bully initiator. And in fact, sometimes there was moments in time where I was the bullied girl.
Oh.
All right.
I remember this one family that was like rich around in my neighborhood, but I was like the only one that, like all these like big fancy families. And then I was the only one that lived in like a basement apartment of my grandparents. So they're like, nice basement.
Oh yeah. They really did you in there.
Well, they like, they pointed where I lived.
Yeah.
And it hurt my feelings.
Even though it
was a beautiful walkout basement with a giant backyard and a swing set and an in-ground, a kidney-shaped pool only. Yeah.
It was nothing like Larissa's basement that was all dank. I let her know about it.
No one else had it lived in a basement but me. It was a beautiful basement.
Also, that's the way that I was bullied. If in as much as I was bullied, it was light like that. Like just a couple digs here and there that I took very
personally. It wasn't like devastatingly like super personal.
Or it wasn't like physical. I was never turned upside down and had the change emptied out of my pocket.
Out of you over a toilet.
Over a toilet. Then they have to fish around in the toilet to get the change. And it actually ends up being much worse for them.
You fish it out for them.
Yeah.
So this is all to say, I felt like this was about me because like you guys are very close to me. You know, I am very nice in person. I think I'm very gregarious and to acquaintances and people I don't know very well. I'm a good converser and I ask people how they're doing, blah, blah, blah. But like I do hide quite a misanthropic, I'm not that cheerful, am I, Michael? You see me, you hear me and see me at my most real and vulnerable.
I mean, hey, we all have a public face and a private face. But I don't think you're more...
you don't think I'm evil.
I don't think you're more bitter than the average person.
You don't think I'm evil? I think this person thinks I'm evil because I... But anyways, maybe I'm just... Maybe this is just me, like...
Yeah, projecting.
Yes.
Projecting that they're...
Like, projecting that they're projecting onto me.
Yeah,
Or whatever.
Or something.
But anyways, but I know people that I think are deep down evil that sound polite and nice and polite.
Well, yeah, we know that we don't trust any comedian who brands themselves as a nice
good,
comedian.
Nice guy.
Like anytime someone does cutie pie jokes on stage, but then you look into their eyes and they're the eyes of a shark.
Absolutely. Those cutie are the pie.
Yeah.
Cutie pie.
It's cutie pies. At a certain age, past a certain age.
Yes.
If you're being a cutie pie comedian.
Yeah, then there's something going on bubbling under the surface.
Don't offer to walk me home.
Yeah, exactly. There was this one cutie pie that was one time like, hey, everyone, just to let you know, this is so girls feel safe. You can give me a call at this number and I'll walk you home. And I said to my friends, I would rather be slain in the gutter in the dead of night than be walked home accompanied by that individual.
Yeah.
But my advice for someone that you think is nice, but that presents as very nice and sweet and is like, but you suspect are evil, keep your eyes glued to the CP24 bad news ticker. Because one day that name's going to show up right on there.
Bad news ticker.
You're getting your nails done. You're looking at that CP24 bad news ticker. That name's going to pop up.
Yeah. Cutie pie comedian arrested for stealing cabbage from Ample Foods.
Witnesses stunned by the necessity of the theft given the low, low prices.
Shocked, reeling. My advice would be, as soon as you can, as soon as you start to suspect this about an individual, tell at least one friend so that when it comes out inevitably that they're canceled or they did something fucked or they're like, that their sinister, true evil nature does come out, because it always will. Then you can say to at least one person, ha, I knew it.
Oh, and what a prize that is in the grand scheme of
one person. It goes a long way. It goes a long way. One or two. Tell a handful of trusted confidants that what you suspect that they're evil, and then it will come out, and then you're going to be like, ha. And then they're going to tell all their friends, well, you know what? So-and-so had a feeling about them. And that so-and-so, it's going to be you, girl.
Mm. So if you want the ribbon that says I told you so on it.
Tell a couple people what you suspect.
The only thing you can take with you after you die.
Absolutely. Because it's the one thing that you can keep
God smiles
your fist.
On it.
Yeah. Oh, but and this is just one caveat to my advice. Uh-huh. If it's me that you think is evil, don't tell nobody nothing about that because it's not true.
Yeah. I know someone, we know someone who gets so mad about this type of thing and believes that it's fairer to be mean to someone's face or like just not nice to someone's face if you harbor ill feelings about them.
Who says that?
Just a friend of ours. It doesn't matter. But I don't know that I agree with... I don't know how I feel.
Oh my God.
I respect that position from right. like the place of honesty, but also I'm like, I don't know. Like there's something about me that's kind of like, if someone's going to talk behind my back and I don't find out about it, that's cool.
Oh yeah. It's
that's
not
fine.
For us to know.
What's
the saying? People's opinions of me are none of my business.
Yeah. I just don't want to know. Actually, there's nothing worse than someone who gleefully skips up to me and tells me what someone else has been saying about me.
That happens to you a lot?
Sometimes that happens.
Really?
Did I ever tell you that there was graffiti?
Oh, yes. This story is so upsetting.
Do you know this story? There was graffiti in the Comedy Bar women's washroom that said, Mark Little is in his own way.
Isn't that harrowing?
And Laura Silovitz skipped up to me and told me, you're not going to believe this. This is in the... And I was like, don't... Just cross it out and don't tell me. Cross it out and
Mark
never
Little
tell me.
Is in his own way.
It haunts me.
That is haunting.
I mean, in terms of graffiti about you in a women's washroom, I would say that is the best possible version
of
that.
I know, you're right. And yet it haunts me still. Here's why it haunts me so much is because it's not mean, which would have been worse, but it's so insightful.
It's so insightful.
Said, and it
cuts
was,
you.
It feels like it was written with the hopes that it would eventually get back to me.
Did your therapist write this on the wall of Comedy Bar?
My therapist only came to Comedy Bar once, and he was Sharpie Rich that night.
Hey, Doc, tell it to my face next time. Wow, that's...
My therapist was too sweet to ever say something like that.
That's why I'm worried about wasting money on therapy. What if I get one like that? That's like me, that's afraid to say the truth. And then I'm like, there's getting nowhere.
Well, I don't know. Try it out first.
Too expensive.
Well, that's fair.
If it comes with a big bag of cabbage, maybe I'd go.
Yeah, so if you pay $150, but
an
you
hour.
Get a $250 bag of cabbage.
Yeah, and it better have some carrots in it.
If you're feeling stressed or unwell or having dark thoughts, it's okay to talk to someone. They may have a bag of cabbage for you.
Michael, what advice would you give this person?
To how to deal with someone who presents as being very friendly and polite, but is actually evil? Mm-hmm. I just don't bother. Just stay away from them. Just
avoid them. That's why I go out the second door of Comedy Bar so often.
Because your take was like, do you want to be proven right in the end so that you look good? I just don't even engage at all.
Yeah.
I don't have nothing.
You don't even want to say. Well, you wouldn't even want to tell somebody like, hey, I think this person's
insidious. I just don't. I don't need to have to score a point in the end. I guess I don't know.
You're not petty, is what you're saying.
That's a loser's thing to say.
Yeah, someone with no points.
I'm extremely petty.
You just avoid the whole situation.
It's exhausting to get involved in.
Yeah. Well, that's healthy.
Those aren't the people that, if you suspect that, A, someone's being nice to you, but they're evil underneath. So they're not being aloof. So what are you drawn to?
But maybe they're not drawn to
like the
to
only
it.
People I'm drawn to are the people who are
cool?
in slivers mean to me. And then right. I need their approval.
But maybe this person has to be around this suspected evil person for like work or something, like because in like for us we find ourselves on shows or like stuck in like for example Comedy Bar, like I was saying this to someone the other day, you're down there for a show or you've got two shows in a row, so you're kind of like stuck there all night there, and there's no avoiding people at that place. There's no little other offshoot rooms or tables. You're out in the open, like, and like, so I see people all the time that I'm like suspect are fucked or have heard rumors about that they're fucking evil super problematic freaks, and I'm like, how's it going? And that's why I think that people think that I'm phony.
Oh my God, I bumped fists with Tricks after that whole thing.
Well, as long as it wasn't your foot.
Do you know? Everyone knows the trick story, but this is the extent of my cowardice. But tricks, right, for anyone who doesn't know, who wants to summarize this?
Mike, can you put it concisely?
Very Canada specific or like Toronto specific comedy story. I don't know the full details of it.
But he was like tricking young male comedians into giving him videos and pictures of their feet because he said
the promise of maybe winning an Xbox.
An Xbox,
through Much Music.
Yeah, it was like, I've got this like contest going on.
It's a very convoluted
music.
Way to get so pictures of feet.
Yeah. Yes.
Or
yes.
He would tell them that they needed to audition for something. He was going to like
audition.
Help them get on video on trial.
Yeah.
This is in the day.
And you get paid for the audition
and
with an
they
Xbox.
But the producers needed to see that you were ready to take risks, foot risks. So, but like he wouldn't get them to do like sexual things with the feet. He'd just get them to like lie on a bed and like move their feet
around.
Move
their feet, read a book and fiddle and twiddle and fiddle your feet around in the bathroom.
Yeah. So then it came out because someone, was it Pat Bircher who posted to the like comedian's message board?
Did
he was like,
ever get
did anyone
Xbox?
Get this? I just want my Xbox. And then so many people were like, holy shit, he did that to me too. Oh my God, I was too ashamed to admit that.
I'll never forget when it broke.
Yeah.
That story broke.
It was so crazy. And craziest of all is that his name is Trix. He was really hiding in plain sight with this. Like he gave himself the name Trix with two X's. Anyway, like a couple, so we're all talking about it. And then I'm at the Corner Comedy Club one night and he goes, Little, what's going on? And he holds out his fist.
So this was when the story was pretty fresh?
No, it was like 6 months later.
Still,
it was like
pretty, okay, yeah.
Yeah, fresh enough for this to not be cool to me.
Absolutely.
And I just went, hey, man. And I bumped fists and then I walked out like,
God.
And I just puked in the alley. I looked in a mirror. I didn't recognize myself.
A hard look in the mirror. Splash your face. Hands on the sink. Looking right in the mirror.
Yeah. Realizing.
Yeah, yeah.
And your feet looked up at you and were like, I don't even want to be associated with you anymore, Mark. How could you do this to us?
On that day, I lost control of my feet.
There was a lot of rumors then about like, what was he using them for? Because some people were like, it's his own personal collection. He's closeted and he's also has a foot fetish.
Yeah.
And then other people were like, no, he's selling them to like a foot site. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's money. We never really knew. But I'll never forget. This is so fucking pure gossip now. But I'll never forget at the comedy contest where you win $25,000.
Oh, yeah.
There was a finals or there was like a round and he went forward.
Yeah.
So yeah. So you're saying yes. You're phony as well. You're like, hello.
Oh, God, yes.
Hello, pseudo-sexual deviant.
Yeah, just
because
the idea of like having a moment of confrontation makes me like paralyzed.
Right, right. So what's your advice for this person then and coming from that personal context?
My advice would just be like, if you suspect them to be evil underneath, to the extent that you can, just don't engage with
don't
them.
Engage.
It's the same as what Mike's saying.
Yeah.
But like, honestly, like I say this from the perspective of like someone who can't help but try to win the approval of like people who nag me. I have dated women for months because they nagged me on the first date. Which is so just gutting. Like I just spent months trying to win their approval.
Yes.
And then once we had like a stable relationship, I realized that it was built on a foundation of my own insecurities.
That's so feminine of you.
I guess so.
Yeah. That like you're basically an ally.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're basically
that's
a feminist
ally. That's what I thought to myself as I pounded fists with Canada's strangest foot criminal. As I thought, this is something a woman would appreciate me doing in this moment.
But also, just to cap that off, I would also tell the person, like my advice doesn't encourage them to engage. It just encourages them to get some little, you know, minuscule amount of valor when it comes out that they're evil. But in the face-to-face scenario, I would say do this to them a lot. Like, okay, let's say you're the evil person
yep.
and we're talking
yep.
and as they're talking, look at them like this a lot.
Like little side eye, like, yeah. Little squint.
Yeah, kind of like let them know with subtle body language that you're on to them.
Yes.
And maybe
here's
it'll
also
help
the
them
thing,
like
though,
look in the mirror a bit.
If you are like, if somehow this is like a relationship that they care about, there might be a way to like just speak bluntly and try and get to the bottom of it. Like, I don't think like you'd say, are
hey,
you
evil?
But you know,
like level with me and I won't tell anyone. Are you evil?
I've had friends who just like, it felt like at strange opportunities would just like try and get me.
Oh yeah.
Like just kind of lower me in a way that I was like, ugh! Like it kind of came out of nowhere, and then I was like, are we friends? So eventually I just had to be like, why did you do that?
What
just,
kind of lowering? Can you give an example?
Oh, just like a little dig. Mm. One time I had a friend. I'm such a child. I'm sorry. I was just wearing like new shoes that I was a bit self-conscious about, and I had my socks pulled up
and
in a way
and it was
that,
fall. It was like the new school year.
But this is like literally in my 30s. Okay. And anyway, my I was just sitting and like watching my friends dance, like in like a small little like thing. I was just like sitting and they were dancing, and I was like, okay. Hey, I actually had the thought of like, I don't feel comfortable dancing, but I'm glad they're dancing and we're all friends. Uh-huh. And then he danced up and took a photo of my shoe and sock situation and laughed and danced away.
Okay, sorry. That is fucking devastating.
And I kept waiting for an explanation. But it was like, it pierced so directly to my insecurity in that moment.
I would have
cried. Yeah. So then the next day I just wrote like a tense kind of like, haha, don't blackmail me with that photo, trying out a new thing with my shoe and socks. And then he wrote like a jokey blackmail message in return, like, sent like something that would have been funny if we were just joking around, but it did not do anything to put me at ease.
What was the message back?
Oh, it was just like a joke, like send $500 or something. Where the photos get revealed.
What was the sock situation?
Yeah, we gotta know, Michael. Amazing question. What the
were
hell
wearing
were you
shorts
wearing?
Shorts as well?
Well, yeah, exactly. Why were your socks
I
so
think
visible?
It was not like a look that I could pull off, which periodically I would say like, you know how a high schooler will just like show up on day one of school and
with
be like,
this is
my
look
now.
Yes.
And then like 2 weeks later, they're just back to their old look because they realize they didn't have the confidence to pull it off.
And so you don't think
that's
you were pulling that off?
As a full grown man every other year. I just try something else. So I think my pants were rolled up. I was wearing like black sneakers and then just had like pulled up black socks. It looked bad. It was a bad look.
Was there skin? This is the crucial question. Was there skin showing between the sock and the rolled up? Like, were the pants rolled up so high that you could see shin above the sock? Like, what the fuck?
I was basically wearing like a baseball uniform from the 30s.
But even then, you can't see there's shin.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you could see my shin. Only because
you were sitting.
Only because I was sitting and my pants were riding up. I don't know. But that was not the point of the look.
Right. The point of the look was to have kind of like hipstery fled like
yes.
rolled up pants. You're showing some sock.
Yes.
It's normcore. It's kind of like ironically like nerdy.
Maybe that. Yeah. I don't know.
Either
but
way, I feel really bad for you that happened. That's really devastating. You should be able to explore
your
different looks.
Do you
want to
know what
looks.
I did?
Yeah.
Like, I never got over it. But here's the thing.
It's good to have a friend who can zero in on your insecurities.
Biggest insecurity.
And just blow it up.
Especially when you're trying something new with yourself.
Yeah.
Hold a magnifying glass up to it and then reflect the sun's rays until it gets so hot that it's all you can
burns
focus on.
Your shins burst into flames.
So, yeah, what did you
like
do?
Like, a month later, we were at an event and he, like, walked up on stage and I...
Oh, he's a comedian.
I took a photo of his shoe.
I love it. And did it jar him?
A shoe for a shoe.
In my head, I went, well, that shoe is nothing to write home about either. That's not the world's best shoe.
Wow, that is biblical revenge.
But here's what's crazy. It's like I started taking like anti-anxiety medication last January, this January.
Because of this event.
Yeah, because of this one event, which festered. And even my therapist was like, get over it. Get out of your own way, freak. Ooh. And I went, you! In the stall with the Sharpie. But it was, no, it was just a fucking series of those types of events where I would, and less clear ones than that, but like social situations where my fight or flight would get triggered so quickly and I would project and perceive like the worst possible intentions and just crumble. So, I started taking this medication. And now all of the friends that I had sort of a frenemy relationship with, there's been no incidents since. Or possibly there have been, but I just haven't perceived them the same way.
It's almost like kind of like a beta blocker for these situations.
Yeah.
It's blocking. It's protecting you from your own mind.
Totally.
Sorry. No. Please, that was not your fault. That situation was fucked. Like, that was not your a pathology on your part. That person, that is a harrowing. I would never recover from that.
Was your friend Biff from the Back to the Future movies?
I'll say this. He did try to sexually assault my mother.
No.
My favorite part of that children's family film. Anyway, so I would say if it is a relationship that you care about, I don't know, maybe confront them in a way.
Yeah, but evil is so vague.
I know, so maybe...
You
but
just
maybe,
have a bad feeling about the
you
person.
You can blackmail them too. Yeah? That's a possibility.
Yeah? But usually when I'm... Yeah, okay, let's do that one. Yeah, send a letter with cutout magazine letters.
Yeah.
That suggests that if they don't fess up to their true self.
Yeah, their true essence.
Yeah, reveal your true colors or I'll or someone will stop hanging out with you. Okay, here we go. This one's longer. And this is the question that we've held off.
Oh God.
revealing because anyway, we'll get into it. Jackie, would love to know your advice on something. I consider myself a funny person and like making people laugh, in brackets, most times I do. But at what cost? I find that people take me less seriously because of that. This affects me at work at times as people think I'm not responsible despite being largely dependable. Friends sometimes dismiss my input despite being very knowledgeable. But most impacted is dating, where women tend to desexualize me. I have on more than one occasion been told I'm like their younger brother, despite the fact that I'm respectful, insightful, and we have a lot in common. I've always been told if somebody says you're really funny, that means they like you, but have found with me, they just mean they're funny. Not sure what that sentence means. Mean they're funny? Anyway, I don't really know what to do again, because again, I like being funny and it tends to get people to like me. My other personality side is more serious and can be harder to connect with people at first.
Was this sent in by Jim Gaffigan?
Any advice on finding the balance of being funny but not being dismissed as a joke? Sorry for the long question, but figured you would be a good person to ask. Holy. Little did he know that he was not only submitting that to kindly, secretly evil Jackie, but also the jokesters, the ribsters, two men who now know his shame.
Well, I will start off by saying that I can't tell. It's hard to tell from this question if this person is so serious or so not unserious that they're out to lunch because they're like, one part of my personality is so serious that people can't connect. But then once they get to know him, he's so funny that they can't even take him seriously at his job that he gets paid at.
They roll in the aisles and look anywhere but at his crotch.
Jekyll and Hyde of the comedy scene. A man who's so dangerously funny that it's ruining his life.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. But no, we don't know that he's a comedian.
Right, right.
I'm assuming he's not. It sounds like just a normal person.
I don't think he is, yeah, because he has a job.
The office cut-up, the boardroom jester.
Well, I will say this, and I'm going to give this person, I don't know why, but I'm assuming this person is a male.
Oh, yes.
That was a joke. they're a straight male. So, okay. So a female's perspective here, which might be valuable, is someone who is funny is so sexy to me. And I have dated and slept with men who I don't find physically attractive from the offset or even maybe barely at all. But if they're very funny, that's a huge turn on for me.
Jackie, I feel like you're weaponizing this potential stalker.
No, but what I'm saying is
send Jackie a picture, not of your face, not of your feet.
No, okay, maybe this is coming.
Split
off
the difference, and she will be into it if it's funny.
No, I'm trying to give them a dose of reality by saying that the fact that you're funny or you perceiving yourself as funny is not why these women are not. Accepting
that's
you as a date.
100% true. And that's 100%
true. Misinterpretation on the part of this person writing the question.
Yeah. Hearing you say that, it does remind me, just because you were like, I've slept with comedians who weren't physically attractive to me, but they made me laugh.
Oh, I'm not saying they were comics necessarily.
Oh, not even comics. Okay, but I do remember before you got married, you were dating Bob Newhart. and there was quite an age gap. And he was married at the time, too, so that was even worse.
Oh, yeah. Also, Jackie, it's a being married, too. Like, yes, I don't even care if you're so disgusting. If you're married, that's a huge turn off.
Jackie, you still get I miss you messages from Mort Saul. You used to say the way he brings the newspaper on stage and just sort of riffs. It really sets the San Francisco scene on fire. We ask what you're talking about.
And you just got back from the Jamaican swingers resort, Hedonism 2, where you spent time with Mel Brooks.
Money doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, yep, yeah.
Mm. Like a hedonist to money? Mm-hmm. Okay, girl.
Yeah, I will say this. Anytime someone who's not a comedian, but sometimes even comedians, tells me how funny they are,
yep.
That's... there's a chance you're not as funny as you think you
absolutely.
Are. There is a way that people laugh that is like to defang someone that makes them nervous.
Yeah, yep, absolutely.
Like that you might be inspiring panicked laughter.
Right.
But you might also be a little bit funny, but yep. not as funny. But as Jackie said, there's something else going on with you. It's not like the sentence, my I'm so funny that women desexualize me. Is, may I say, the reddest of flags. That's an incel thought. Now, I'm not saying you're an incel. I'm definitely not saying that. I'm not suggesting that. But
or was there a badge number attached to the to the message? Maybe I'm the funniest guy at the precinct.
But it is like it's a dicey connection to make. Anytime yes. you're talking about women desexualizing you,
right.
that's a dicey
there's
path
all these
to
kind of
down.
Buzzwords here that are tripping some of my alarms as a woman who really on a daily basis is in close contact with males who believe that they're very funny.
Yeah.
And I don't mean in this room right now.
I didn't think so at all.
I've never been desexualized by a woman for making them laugh. I
right,
will say this.
Yeah.
I've had women not find me sexy from the jump.
Yep.
And I've won women over, as
with
Jackie said,
humor.
With my humor. But
completely.
It's never been like I start telling jokes, or not to my knowledge.
And they're
I
like,
start
oh, you're like my brother now.
Yeah, because it's literally almost all I bring to the table.
Yeah. I often have a situation where I'm not... a woman won't find me physically attractive and also doesn't think I'm funny.
Well, sure.
Mike. Or entire audiences of all sexes and all sexualities and genders.
And this is tough because you're one of those enlightened comedians who only goes on stage to get laid at the end of the set.
Yeah, I have my leather jacket.
Yeah, you wait at the door. Wait at the exit right after.
I do push-ups beforehand, so I'm all pumped up.
That is my favorite type of comedian, and we talk about them all the time.
Yes.
Because I used to always only go to the Yuck Yucks Club in Halifax because it was the only club, only stage time. So I would see all the road dogs coming through, and it was fucking so transparent. The ones who cared about like getting better at comedy, or the ones who just wanted to have sex with someone in that audience
on the road
by the end of
the
night
in their motel.
Like the one guy who would end his set with 10 minutes of electric guitar. He would lug his guitar in a small amp to all his stops. Yep. And then he would end the set by playing no comedy. There was no setup. He would just show them that he could play Thunderstruck.
Oh yeah, that song really gets me going. That song has so many good connotations for me for a night of great sex.
But to a certain type of woman right. of a certain age,
yeah.
with a certain inclination and a certain level of drunkenness,
yeah.
maybe, I mean, it had to have worked for him because everything about it was like artistically corrupt.
I would only want to see this guy's electric guitar stuff, none of his comedy. And I would probably find it so funny.
It was better. The electric guitar was better. But there was another comedian who was just like, man, he was so slimy. And he would just perform in a way that was less obvious, but so clear that he just wanted to fuck.
Right.
And this is a comedian who...
Do I know them?
I don't know if you'd know, but... I'll tell this small story.
Would he moon the audience to try and arouse the women in the crowd? Just hold his ass open? What do you think, ladies?
All this and a dick. The dick was merely the icing on the big
not
old
so
cake.
Fast.
I just love the idea that what do you think, ladies, and all this and a dick is almost not even audible because he's faced away from... On the microphone.
All this audible.
This is a comedian who. Okay, so I did the Yuck Yucks Great Canadian Laugh Off in like 2012, and before the show, before the finals, did you guys know that I won this? I won this. I won 20.
No, but you're sounding a lot like the writer of the question there.
I only need to tell you that I won. But it was like, listen, it was like a $25,000 prize. It was like crazy.
Okay.
It was crazy. And I didn't deserve to win it, but I won it that night.
Wow. Wait, you won the $25,000?
Yeah. when I was like a child. Yeah, Jackie's like turning it on for me now. She's batting her long eyelashes, showing me all the eyes now. At long last, I get to see both eyes at once. The money is long since spent. Okay. I was a young man, but right. Before the show, this guy came up to me, and he, again, another like hack. And he came up to me and he was like, hey, if I win, I'll give you $1,000. If you win, you give me $1,000. And I laughed. I laughed because I felt, like I said, I can't do confrontation. So I felt so uncomfortable because I was like, I don't want to do that because there's no way in hell you're going to win.
Yes,
this.
I'm absolutely going to win, but likely win above you.
So he was in a better position to make this bet than you were.
Oh, yes. But I didn't know how to express that without like, I just wanted to avoid. So yeah. I just laughed and walked away, but I certainly didn't say yes, but I didn't say no.
Oh.
And then I won and he sent me an email and I felt so uncomfortable that I gave him $1,000.
You're fucking kidding me.
I know,
so this guy pressured you into like an agreement you didn't even make.
Yep.
This is insane.
I didn't not make, and I was like, I just don't want the conflict.
Mark, you are so preyed upon. That like infuriates me to hear this all these years later.
Imagine him sending that email being like, he's ripping me off.
I think that's what he was thinking. And then I told this to someone and they're like, he's already spent that on cocaine. What are you doing?
Oh my God.
And I was like, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't know what to do.
I'm sorry, Mark.
I didn't know. All this and a dick? I don't like this episode. It's really getting to the core of my soul.
I'm worried about this question. I'm worried about going very delicate on this question.
I know. I didn't mean to call this person an incel, but like, I'm worried. I hope I didn't suggest that, but I do think this guy has just maybe slightly the wrong idea. He's either overestimated his own comedic abilities, but he's certainly not aware enough about what's really going on when he interacts with women.
Maybe also, we don't know how he presents. Like, does he wear like a happy face tie and like silly glasses?
And a hat with a spinning.
It's like, how come the boss doesn't want me to deliver the report at the annual conference? I'm a serious worker.
Yeah, and I would love to know, because I've worked at places where there's someone that's really concertedly trying to be the funny guy at work. Yeah. And it's quite if it's a 9-to-5, it's really exhausting for people.
Yeah.
So people might not, it's not that they don't take you seriously. It might just be that they're like, I'm just at work.
Stop doing the Borat voice when you're sending me the Q3 report.
Sorry, can you repeat the final
Once again, what's the
question?
Password for my Wi-Fi? Oh, boy.
Can you repeat to me the end of this question?
Sure.
What's the crux of the question?
If I don't get advice within the next 48 hours, you'll see me on CP24 and know you're at fault? Did I read that part already?
No, I think you left that part out.
Okay. The last part of the question is, I've always been told if somebody says you're really funny, that means they like you. But if found with me, they just mean they're funny. I don't really know what to do because, again, I like being funny, and it tends to get people to like me. My other personality side is more serious and can be harder to connect with people at first. Any advice on finding the balance of being funny but not being dismissed as a joke?
The balance. Okay. Here's my advice, and it's sincere. Don't maybe loosen your grip on your own concept of you being so funny.
Yeah.
And stop trying too hard to be funny. And you might find that, or stop trying so hard to fit into your own self-concept that you are such a funny guy. And you may find that you make more organic and rewarding human connections.
Yes. As we say in the improv world, listen.
Yeah. Yes.
So, maybe the next time you're in a conversation, if you feel like you're like, oh, I gotta make a joke. If that's normally like, you're sort of like, if you feel charged up in a conversation to like be funny, maybe just take a breath and let someone else talk and just respond to what they say.
Yes. 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 And don't kill me.
Yeah, don't kill Jackie. Don't kill me.
Or
but
me.
Honestly, Mike's not a host of
this. No.
And unless he agrees to become a permanent fixture.
I think it would be wrong to kill a guest on a podcast instead of one host, which I also think is wrong, but it'd be extra wrong to kill a guest.
If I may say, the least funny thing you could possibly do is to kill one of us.
Absolutely.
Yes. It would in fact be a bit cringe.
Yeah, that would be cringe. It would certainly be so choogy, and people would never take you seriously.
There's no hot women in a men's prison.
No.
So if you're hoping to pull. Well,
there might be an open mic night in there. You can hone your craft without without the distractions of the opposite sex around.
Did we get your concrete advice?
I just think it's maybe go the opposite way and become one of those famous comedians who, whenever they're interviewed, they're so serious talking about the craft of comedy
right.
that they're not making anyone
yes.
laugh.
Yes, yes, so that you can have the title of a comedian,
yes.
but
yeah.
the credibility of a dour, tortured poet, critical thinker, and tortured scholar.
This is the only way to become a comedian.
I remember. Yes, that's exactly who we're thinking of. Serious yeah. shit.
Yeah. Loosen up.
Yeah.
It takes 72 years to write your first good 5 minutes. Throw it away.
So then after those 72 years, throw it away immediately.
Never perform.
I hope we've helped this person.
Your first set should be your eulogy delivered by a trusted compatriot. I don't know if we have, but... This is really a be yourself.
I've had fun joking
around. Be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just know that humor and being very funny, and in as far as I know, in the history of all mankind, has never deterred a woman from finding a man sexual or seeing mm-hmm. him as a possible sexual partner.
Yeah.
Be funny. Learn to play guitar.
Play guitar for 9 minutes at the end of every interaction.
Wear a bandana.
Bring a small amp to work.
Yeah, it's one of those Fender starter packs.
All right. So we've reached the end of the episode, which means it's time for our final segment.
Okay.
Where we talk about a big choice.
I love a big choice.
In big choice, we talk about a character or historical figure who made a big choice and discuss whether that was a good choice or bad choice. And today we're talking about Geppetto.
Oh.
The Italian man.
Yes. Famed for being Italian. And a footnote to his life. Oh, he made a wooden boy.
Right.
That
right.
Was granted a soul.
Reminds me of, and I don't want to get this opening a can of worms, but it reminds me as if Michael Jackson were Italian, he would be Geppetto.
He'd be carving and whittling his way.
All night long.
So for anyone, in case they don't know, Geppetto is the toy maker.
If people are listening and don't know who the fuck Geppetto is,
yeah.
I don't want them to listen any further.
Like stop, like hit stop now and like
fuck off.
Walk off a cliff.
Yeah, Mike, if I could read your algorithm t-shirt that you're wearing right now, if you don't know Geppetto, I don't want to know you.
Yeah, yeah. In the back?
It's a Balazzo thing.
Yeah.
You mustn't understand. What's on the back, Mike?
Oh, it just says fuck you. It's a very aggressive shirt now that I think about it, but it's, you know.
Yeah. They sold you on it.
So he is the puppeteer from the story / series of films Pinocchio. He is Pinocchio's father. Yeah. And he, at least according to the recent film, I've never read the original story, but I've heard tell that right. it was just like written hastily by an Italian in the sort of Dickens way where he was, you know, where you submit like pieces, chapters to newspapers.
Okay.
Pinocchio was serialized.
Pinocchio was serialized.
You're like people lining up for the newspaper in Rome. Like, what's going to happen to the boy now?
What happened to the puppet boy?
I couldn't sleep last night. I was thinking about a little wooden man.
But if it was written by an Italian, hastily sounds right to me. Mm. It was kind of the way that my Italian grandfather would do home improvements and renovations extremely hastily.
Yeah.
Very not thorough.
Speaking of Italian home improvements, Mike, could you do your famous Italian Tim Allen grunt?
The air intake off the top is a good sign.
And this is something you've definitely done before, which I just want to tee up in a natural way.
Well, you know, his wife would say something about like, oh, you're so masculine. And he'd go, oh, mama. It wasn't as much of a grunt as it was him going, oh, mama.
Oh, yeah. You sometimes went, oh.
True.
You know what? He just completely teed you up to best you on that one.
How do you know when someone's actually evil, but they're acting nice? Yeah, I've just been waiting for you to mention Home Improvement and Italians in the same sentence.
Fighting your time.
His next door neighbor, Wilsonino, who you only ever saw his part of his face through the lattice work that
he
was covered in grapes
chef's
and vines.
His hat and his big eyebrows.
Geppetto. So apparently this story was serialized. And apparently if you read it, it's kind of like doesn't fit together all that well.
Oh, okay. That's just as I suspected.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, when you watch the Disney version, you're kind of like, oh yeah, there was that whole part I forgot about.
You know what? It's been so long. All I remember from the Disney version was being very scared when they're stuck in a whale.
Yeah.
That's all I remember.
And I feel like that's not even the most horrifying part, though. The most horrifying part that I recall is them, like, turning into donkeys.
The donkey boys.
Oh, yes.
Like the human trafficking
scene. Oh, my God. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so so in the most recent version, they make clear that Geppetto, and I can't remember if this is subtext in the Disney version, because this was from a time when Disney was a little bit darker, I guess. Yeah. But anyway, Geppetto has lost his son to the war effort, I think.
Right.
For some reason, the new one is set during like World War II, and there's like Italian fascists.
Okay. Oh.
Like Mussolini's a character in the new one. It feels like a stretch.
Is Jiminy Cricket part of the fascist party as well? Or is he,
like, yeah.
They have some good ideas.
Pinocchio, give this pamphlet a read. But anyway, so he's lost his son, and so he makes the wooden boy in his grief to escape. To escape going through all seven stages of grief.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets to acceptance and he goes, couldn't I just make a wooden boy and wish instead? And then a fairy arrives and she's like, you asked.
You're off the hook. Yeah, fine.
I guess when I say Geppetto's big choice, making the boy, is that the right choice?
But when he made the boy, did he know that it was going to have a soul, or was he just making a puppet for his own amusement and to like kind of distract him from, as you said, his stages of grief? Did he know what was going to happen?
I don't remember. I should know this.
Because if he didn't know that, then for sure go for it. That's a big choice, and I agree.
Yeah,
or
make a puppet. Of course, make a puppet that looks like your son.
Make the puppet.
And dance it around.
Well, actually, maybe
never
that
move
is
on.
Sick.
Never move on. Well, I've got puppets of all my exes. And they dance around me and tell me they forgive me.
That's a huge choice, and I think that there's so many ethical connotations there, because it's like, so you're going to make this wooden boy who's like sentient.
Yeah.
And then it's like, is that maybe it's a disservice to the memory of your son to think that he can be so easily replaced?
Yeah.
Because this soul is different. It's a different soul, and it's trapped in the limitations of this wooden body that has to, some obstacles have to occur to have him have a flesh body.
Mm. Now, obviously, things all work out in the end. Mm-hmm. Pinocchio is granted flesh and then becomes Geppetto's true son.
Right.
And does this son avoid joining the fascist party?
No, at the end of the new movie, Pinocchio is a card-carrying fascist.
And Geppetto turns to the camera and goes, oh, no, not again.
I hope this one is a better in the fight.
I feel like Geppetto, before making the puppet and wishing, he maybe should have dealt with his mental illness and his grief and gone to whatever the Italian version of BetterHelp was at the time. Buono Helpino?
Buono Helpino.
Yeah.
It was a write-in service at the time.
I'm telling you, as a granddaughter of a grief-stricken Italian named Francesco,
mm-hmm.
They're never going to do it.
Right.
And they will tinker in their workshop.
Oh, yeah.
To avoid anything. Little wooden boats with canvas sails.
Oh, yeah.
Anything to avoid the grief of his wife that was gone far too soon.
When Italy didn't make the World Cup this year, my Italian neighbor invited me over to see the mock Qatar he built out of wood in his basement.
He created an alternate reality.
And he kept wishing.
Why didn't Geppetto, instead of doing something as unnatural as making a wooden boy and wishing it was real, why didn't he dust himself off, you know, shave off his big bushy mustache, hit the dating scene, and find a new woman to have a new real child with?
Well,
sorry,
I'll tell you why.
Men can always...
It's because when women found out that he was a puppet maker, they desexualized
him.
Right,
right. I'm the funniest puppet maker in Rome. How come no one want to date me?
I liked you better before. But now you are less a sex and less a sex and less a sex. Well, I think, yeah, it's confirmed. You got to deal with your problems instead of just making a boy. But,
yeah.
And I feel like Geppetto,
instead of sending me nudes, Geppetto, send me a dated receipt from your last therapy session.
Who was it that said that?
The balloon artist
the
guy.
The balloon cutie pie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, instead of nudes, send me a dated invoice from your last therapy session to show me you're working on yourself. Yeah. All written in Mylar, colorful Mylar balloons.
Yeah, says, one letter at a time in balloons. This is a guy on Instagram who posts balloon like
affirmations.
And saucy kind of actual sassy sort of like.
Sassy balloon thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah.
A man clearly mentally ill, dispensing advice on how to deal with trauma and grief.
Yes.
I mean, he should have been the big choice subject of the week.
Yeah.
Should you devote your life to balloon art affirmation art?
That I think is digital. Those balloons aren't real.
This guy.
I don't know.
I don't think
I want to desexualize him with intent.
Oh.
Like, I want to cut everything off that could reproduce.
I would strain so hard to desexualize him that my freaking hair would fall out, my ears would pop off.
What if the guy who... Here's a real Sophie's choice. Am I using that right or wrong?
Sophia's choice.
So, balloon guy does cringe balloon art, but the most gigantic penis in the world.
No. Oh no, that's even worse.
And he uses it to inflate the balloon somehow.
It's just that much more of him in the world that I don't want.
A massive penis full of helium.
And he rubs them against his penis to get them to stick to the wall.
Listen, and maybe there's some writers, like writers in and listeners need to hear this. A big giant dick is not like a ooh la la, especially if the person is annoying. If someone's irritating and fucking annoying, and then you see that they have this big, silly, big oaf of a fucking dick, I'm just like, ah! Like, get it out. Get it away.
So you just see it as like a big, dumb guy.
Yeah, just a big, dumb... Like, if it's a big... Like, an annoying person like with a big, Garrett. Huge dick, that's just an irritant to me.
Right.
Yeah. If you have any questions that you want... us to give you advice on.
Yes.
Send them currently to Jackie's personal Instagram account. We're just trying to get her followers up. We're trying to get the engagements up.
At Jackie Pierrico.
At Jackie Pierrico.
The link is in my bio to a completely anonymous form. Totally anonymous.
Yeah.
If you want to find Mike Balazzo, listen to his podcast, Evil Men.
His hit podcast where he's an official co-host.
I'm an official co-host, one of three.
Yeah. It's a terrific podcast.
And we love having you, Michael. Thank you so much for coming again.
Thanks for having me guest for a second time during the first four episodes.
Yeah, see you next week and the week after.
And the week after, Michael.
But he's not a permanent host because that would do damage
really
to
be
his
a
rep.
Stretch.
I'm Mark. That's Jackie.
Thank you, Mark. In the meantime, think about how we can help.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.